Well, good morning to you all. It's nice to see you today. It's nice to see a lot of our college students back with us this morning on fall break. My son ditched me to go to the beach, so maybe y'all are just better parents than me. A couple of pastoral words this morning that I think are important to make. One is about our campus here, and one is just a call for us to pray in the next few weeks. At White Memorial, for decades, we had what I would call substantial parking challenges. Some of you may have experienced this on a Sunday morning. And if you haven't experienced on a Sunday morning, if you've ever been on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, you have certainly experienced it. And one of the challenges we face is that we have lots of folks in our church, older adults, people recovering from surgery, and also even some of our children here who are in wheelchairs that actually need the handicap spots. And it doesn't happen so much on Sundays, but on Tuesdays or Wednesdays in particular, lots of folks are parking in those spots, which makes it impossible for the mothers of those children to get inside the building, or makes it impossible for an older adult who needs a walker, or what do they call, a roller, whatever, to get inside. And just as the pastor here, I want just to request that we all have some sensitivity to that. We are working very diligently to get the shuttle service back. Anybody here ever take the shuttle when we had it? It died during COVID, and we're trying to get it back. The problem is that where we used to park our cars, the management's all changed. And I'm not very good at strong-arming someone to give me something for free, right? The old management used to just let us park there. And so we're working on it, and we hope that it will return. And that will help the problem a little bit, too, whenever we can resume that service. The second thing is just to say, once again, that there's an election coming up. And you know it, and I know it, and we all feel the tension around us. And you might recall back in August and September, I called upon this church family to pray for our country. And I do so again in these last weeks before votes are counted. And mostly it's that people will be kind to each other, whatever may happen, that we will be free of political violence. That's already happened this summer. And it doesn't need to happen again. We don't need our brother and sister countrymen shooting one another or shooting at one another or harming one another or burning things or whatever it may be because of an election. And so that's what I am going to be praying for. That's what I'm going to be praying for. And I call upon us all to do that as we live into this next 3 or 4 weeks. And I hope you'll join me in that. That having been said, let us pray. O God, be with us this day as we hear your word from Hebrews, and now this word from Mark. Help us, O Lord, to be equipped to be the saints, the men and women of faith and character that you have created and called us to be. Praying for our nation, praying for our city, praying for our community, praying for our own homes, Lord. We ask that you bless us, that your spirit would inspire us through these words to live the lives that you intend. All these things we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. This is from Mark 10. These are, in some ways, very famous words from Mark. And in other ways, they are words that we probably should be thinking about and praying about quite often. So let's listen for what God is saying to us today. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt down before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Well, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." The man said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "Then you lack one thing. Go and sell what you own and give the money to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me." When the man heard this, he was shocked. And he went away grieving, because he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard will it be for those who have great wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven?" And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom." The disciples were greatly astounded, and they said to one another, Then who could be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we've left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." These words from Jesus come to us from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. May God bless us this day in the hearing of this holy word, for this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I hope you heard the verb in that text that I just read, follow. It's an important word. It's a really important word. We have to ask ourselves whenever someone asks, "Will you come and follow me?" Well, what does it mean to follow someone or something? Many of us follow a sports team, college or professional. Some of you know that I'm an LSU fan. I went to bed last night in the third quarter, woke up this morning, they won the game in overtime. So they were playing terrible. I was not a good follower last night. We follow political parties, ideologies left and right. We follow politicians. We follow the voice or the directions of our GPS. One of my children's favorite songs goes like, "Dear Lady of the GPS, I won't do what you say. I'm going to make my own path now, no matter what you say," right? We follow the GPS. Some of you may still carry maps in your cars, because if you don't follow, you can get lost. If you've ever been hiking, you follow those little trail markers, and sometimes you get nervous that you're not going to find the next one because it's been a while since you saw the last one, and you really don't want to get lost out in the woods. We follow dress code so we can go to parties or eat at certain places. We follow other people, celebrities, old friends, new friends. We follow them on social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Instabook, whatever the next one's going to be called. Some of us follow churches, civic institutions. And sometimes those things win our allegiance, and we choose to support them. We follow financial and investment strategies to make us more wealthy, or at least to feel more secure. We follow our family budget to make sure that we are mindful of our resources. Many of us hold on to an ideology of security or possessions, like a man holding on to a life raft at sea, even though none of them are a guarantee that they will keep us from drowning. We follow moral teachings and codes, theological ideas, and hopefully, I pray, we follow the day-to-day guidance and influence of the Christ that we call Savior. I could go on. I could talk about how when we were toddlers, we followed our parents around all the time, whether we can remember it or not, because that's how you learn things. The human species was designed to follow along, right? Some lead, of course, but even that leader has something that he or she follows. I promise. Right? I don't need to go on because, like I've said, we are all following someone or something. All the days that we see the sun rise in the east, there is something to follow. Don't believe me that what we follow or what we've become dependent upon, or we've created these pathways upon which we are dependent to move along, then ask the people of Western North Carolina. If you don't think that we are dependent upon others, many of them are dependent even now upon someone else to feed them. They are dependent upon engineers and plumbers and electrical line workers so that they can return to their homes at least sometime in the future. They are waiting right now upon others for the pathway to restoration. Followers, they are like followers following the light of the sun. They are searching for people who will lead them to some sort of renewed confidence and prosperity. The good news for us today, even though we acknowledge that it can be hard to follow along sometimes and we can get in our own pathway, is that our own pathways, Jesus has called us both to follow him and the Word of God. That text that Anne read from the book of Hebrews, it's got some powerful things in there to say about the power of God's Word to shape life and to hold time and space together. The Word of God, according to Hebrews, is bigger than any country, any election, any king or ruler of past, present, or future, and it should and does demand our first allegiance. The word, or at least a word from God, comes to us from Jesus today in the Gospel of Mark. That's a famous text. It gets your attention when Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for someone who has wealth to enter the kingdom of God." That catches my attention every time I read it. I think it catches most of our attentions. It begins and ebbs and flows from an encounter that Jesus has with a wealthy man. Mark alone, out of Matthew and Luke, this story is in all three, says that Jesus loves him. Only Mark says that. It also tells us that this man cannot imagine living without his stuff, his possessions. And he chooses them over the word, wisdom, and peace of God's truth. He chooses them over getting to follow the living manifestation of God's word here on earth. It is a tragic choice. Mark tells them the man goes away, tells us that the man goes away grieving. Yes, we can be presented the very chance to follow God in the most intimate way possible and still choose something else. Like I said on September 29th when I preached about decision making, the greatest thing we've ever been given is free will, and the most terrible thing we've ever been given is free will. Our old Presbyterian ancestors will teach us, if you read their words, that we are often our own worst enemies. No one more so than this rich man in Mark chapter 10. So let us learn from his mistake. And let us learn from those times that we have gotten lost, perhaps in the car or perhaps along the trail, that we should follow trustworthy people and ideas. And there is none that we can trust more than Jesus. The failing of this rich man, right, of course, is that he chooses to trust his earthly possessions more than he trusts the way of God. Yeah, let's not do that. The question for us is whether or not we trust our possessions and our wealth and our securities more than we trust the guidance of Jesus. Do we dare to learn from this guy or not? What are we following? That's the very question that I think confronts us. What are we following? To whom do we give our first allegiance? Who are we following? Listen to Peter. "Look, Lord, we've left everything to follow you." That's what Peter says. That's what Peter says to Jesus. Here at White Memorial, I think, and in every church that you may visit or attend from time to time, we want you to love Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit the most intensely as you possibly can. And then we want you to let that love inform how you love your family and friends. And then you take all that love and you put it into practice. And we pray when you do that, that you will follow the laws of God and the example of Jesus. The example of Jesus that calls us to understand and love and know our neighbors to the greatest extent we possibly can. The kind of commitment that tells us that following Jesus is not supposed to be a part-time job. Instead, we are supposed to be full-time disciples, because discipleship is a lifelong calling and obligation. I think it's that understanding which is at the core of what Jesus is saying and trying to teach in Mark chapter 10. The rich man wants to love his money at least as much as he loves God, and Jesus tells him it can't be that way. That's not going to work, Jesus tells him. See, there are at least two problems with loving our possessions too much. The first is that our possessions never love us back. I don't care how pretty the thing in your house is that you love the most, it will never love you back. It doesn't. Of all the beautiful things around us, they don't. And the second lesson is this: Like we learned last month in the mountains, your possessions can be stripped from you in the blink of an eye. They do succumb to great winds, roaring flames, and raging rivers. So follow something that never quits. Follow something that you can trust. Yeah, it's going to require sacrifice, of course. Following Jesus, it means at least some sacrifice. But let us not fall into the trap of the man in Mark 10, loving wealth and possessions more than anything else. Well, what do I do about this, Pastor? I've got to send my kids to college. I've got to save money. I need reliable transportation. I need heat in the wintertime. Air conditioning in the summer, it's pretty much a necessity around here. You're going to pay a power bill, an HVAC guy, at some point, right? So I can't get rid of everything, Pastor. Yeah, that's true. I'm in the same boat. I really am. But you should know that one way to correct this is to practice generosity. Yeah, that's what Scott Wilson was talking about at the beginning of this day. Let me give you an example of why generosity is important. As a church right now, we are honestly providing incredible support for the Western Mountains. And if we took what we're doing through our church structure and you added it to all that you have done at your offices, if we could find that number, it would be staggering. It would be staggering. That's exactly what we are supposed to do. People that we know and love are hurting, and our response is to be generous. But the only way that works through our church is if you're generous with us too. Because we have to have folks to coordinate all that work. We have to have folks to make sure that it's going to reliable places. We have to have folks to cash the checks. And it's not just true for what we're doing for Western North Carolina. That is true of every visit of pastoral care, every Bible study we teach, every weekly worship service we lead, every moment of ministry to children of worth, children and youth, and every other function of this church family. Right now, there are people on average about 110 at 9:30 and about 160 or more at 11 o'clock who are streaming this service, and they do so from all over the country and all over the world. It's been an outreach opportunity to other places that we never foresaw when we started only streaming back during COVID lockdowns. But guess what you have to stream the service? You got to have a budget. Drew's up there in the booth. Like, we love Drew. He keeps it going. But it takes lots of equipment to make all that happen and all the things. And so we need you to help us here at White Memorial so that we continue to do the good work that we are called to do. And of course, like every other institution and business, guess what's happening in 2025? Our costs are going up. Shocker, I know. And so if you could increase your commitment by 5% or 10%, that would be great. That's our practical reality. But the spiritual reality is this, and actually, it's even more important than the practical one. The spiritual reality is that whenever you are generous in a church, or whenever we are generous in our community, we are using our gifts to proclaim our trust in the providence and provision of God. And when we do that, we trust that we are becoming even more faithful followers of Jesus. Because Jesus chose to teach us to give and give and give. And because Jesus, in his human life, trusted God. And to follow him, we should do the same. Another example of how we can give. I was at Habitat for Humanity yesterday with 60 other people, including 9 other White Memorial members. I haven't driven that many nails in a long time. And yes, my arm is sore. And my legs are sore from being on my knees for 2 hours. But in 2 hours, we built every wall to go to a new house. And then another group came, the second shift, and they took those walls that we built out of 2x4s, and they assembled them that afternoon so that the house can begin. So we gave of our time to give someone a house that doesn't have one. And that's really important. That type of giving is really important too. Yes, the question is, do we share our time with others, or do we hoard it all for ourselves? Jesus says to share it, and to follow his example means that we must. Psalm 150 tells us that the obligation of every living thing that breathes is to praise the Lord. And we praise the Lord best, I think, when we follow the plan of God and when we follow the example of Jesus. Is this hard sometimes? Yes. Will we get it wrong sometimes, like the guy we meet in Mark? Yes, we will. But nothing that is overly easy was ever really worth doing, because easy things don't build a life or forge a faith. No, we have to be serious about the things that we must choose and sacrifice if we are going to be faithful followers. Jesus says give time, money, and ourselves through our talents to family, friends, and others, and we are at our best when we let him lead our lives. Why is he leading us? To show us how to follow him as disciples. And the life of discipleship ultimately leads us home with God. God bless you, friends. May the peace of Christ be with you, dwelling deep in your hearts. May the Spirit indeed enlighten your way. And may you all walk in the comfort of God's care. Amen. That hymn was written the year I graduated college, so that means it's getting old, you know? The second verse is unquestionably one of the prettiest things in the hymnal. You sang this, and this was a prayer to God. You're speaking to God. Write your love upon my heart as my law, my goal, my story. In each thought, word, and deed, may my living bring you glory. Something like that is what it means to follow God. It's supposed to be something like that. Even when we trip and we need the grace of God to offer us a hand to stand up, we just keep following. You just keep going. May you go out this week to love and serve a world that is in great need. May you go out in this week in the confidence that your life does have all the potential to be a blessing in the life of another. And may you go from this place committed to follow as God leads, today, tomorrow, and all our days. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of our lives, may you be blessed until we meet again. Amen.